Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Proverbs 16:1-9. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps.
Thank you, darling. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that as we've heard from your word this morning, Lord God, that wisdom, planning are all, they come under you, Lord God. They are part of who you are. It's what you have purposed for us, Lord God. And so this morning, as we prepare to hear from you, we welcome your Holy Spirit in this place. We thank you for your word and bless our time together as a family this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're continuing on in our series called Go, and we're looking at how to plan our lives God's way as we go into the next season, as we go into next year. You know, we think about our young ladies, Maddie and Michaela, that we honored this morning. They've reached an end of an era for them, and they're about to start a new phase in their lives, a new chapter in their life. And so last week, Steph kicked it off with our new series, right? Praying before we go, right? Who enjoyed Steph last week? You know, Steph did an awesome message. Can we give her a hand? Yes, Steph. Thank you. And so we saw how prayer plays this major role in preparing ourselves to go, in preparing ourselves to go to the places and to the people that God is calling us to. And so the title of my message today is The Potter and the Plan. The Potter and the Plan. Have you ever seen the process of the making of clay pots? Yeah, anyone ever seen that before? I jumped onto YouTube this week because that's what you do when you don't know where to go and see it in real life. So, you know, I jumped onto YouTube and I was looking up, a couple of videos. And it was like, it's an amazing process, really amazing process of how they form these clay pots. It's a real art. It's a beautiful process. And part of the process is like they preparing the clay. When they're preparing the clay, the process begins by selecting the right type of clay. And because different types of clays, they have different properties. They have different textures. They have color and stuff like that. And so they got the potter has this idea, has this, you know, this picture in his mind. And so he knows what he needs, which the type of clay that he's wanting to utilize for that process. And so once he's chosen that clay, he wedges it. No, not a wedgie, he wedges it. There's this process called a wedging where he's kneading it. Like, you know, anyone make bread before? I've never made bread, but I've seen it. You know, the kneading of the hand, you know, and basically what they're doing is they're getting out all the air pockets within the clay. So they're making the clay so it's more moldable, so it's able to, has a consistent texture, right? And so then the next part is centering the clay. And this is where the potter places the clay on the spinning wheel and he begins to rotate his wheel, right? And so as he's rotating this, the centering of the clay is this crucial part where the potter just uses his hands to shape the clay into a symmetrical and balanced form, right? So you need to start off with this symmetrical inline form to be able to begin to form, right? And so the next part is opening the form. And so once the clay has been centered, the potter then uses his thumbs to begin to open up the middle, right? He's beginning to give it some shape. He's creating an opening in the clay mass, and this establishes the basic, you know, if you think about it, like a basic structure of a pot, of a bowl. And then the next part is where he pulls up the walls. So he uses his fingers to sort of gradually pull up the wall. So he's beginning to build depth, build thickness, build height in that bowl. And then one of the last parts is that shaping and design. And so the potter refines the shape of the pot. He's smoothing it out. He's defining its contours until the final product is ready. Yeah, wow. And then they may put handles on it, they may paint it or whatever, patterns, before it's being put into the fire to be made solid. You know, when we think about planning, there's this process to it as well. Just like the process of the making of a clay pot. But there can be so many different ways to come up with plans, right? Sometimes we just do stuff for the sake of doing stuff because we think we have to do something. We cannot do nothing, right? And that may or may not be helpful. Or we may just be waiting for something or waiting for someone, right? Oh, we're waiting for this opportunity to come. Oh, we're waiting for this person to do this for me, right? Or we're waiting for the audible voice of God to tell me what I need to do. And that may or may not be helpful as well. But if we're a follower of Jesus and we believe that the Word of God and His Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us and direct our lives so that it would be aligned with God's good and perfect will, then the Word of God is a good place to start, right? The Word of God is a good place to find out what is God's plans for my life. And so today we're going to be looking at one of the main authors of Proverbs, and his name's Solomon, right? You may have heard of him. And we're going to see what Solomon learned, you know, about planning, how God revealed planning to him. And so Solomon is the son of King David and Bathsheba, and he's known in the Bible as one of the wisest men that ever lived, right? And so his story is primarily told in the Old Testament, particularly in the books of 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles and Song of Solomon. And so Solomon is probably best known for his wisdom. He was, you know, known as this really wise man. And it was probably best seen in one situation in 1 Kings chapter 3, where these two women, they come before Solomon and they have a situation. Because one of the women, she has this dead baby in her arms. And another woman, she has a baby that's living in her arms. And both these ladies are saying, that's my baby, the one that's alive. This is not mine, this is hers. And Solomon looks at them and he says, okay, give me a sword and I will cut this baby in half and then I'll give you half and I'll give you half. And so Solomon is like, whoa, you know, if you think about that, if you were to hear that from someone, bro, that's a bit too far, isn't it? But Solomon discerned that this was the way to see who the real mother would be. Because the real mother would say, nah, I don't want that for my child. Let her have it, the child. And this wisdom of Solomon was like known throughout the whole land, right? So Solomon also, he plays this major role in the construction of the first temple in Jerusalem. And this became a central worship place for the Israelites. And so this temple was this magnificent structure made of the finest materials, the best gold, the best wood. It was made of the finest stuff. And Solomon's wisdom was evident in the design and the construction of this temple. And so, knowing that this man, Solomon, who was blessed with wisdom by God, because he asked for it, he asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And so this reveals to us some key things that we can consider in our journey for when it comes to planning a life that will honor God. And so in the book of Proverbs is part of what you call the wisdom literature, which also includes Ecclesiastes and the book of Job. And so they're called the wisdom literature because these are books that give practical advice and examples from slightly different perspectives of how to live a good life, right? Who wants to know how to live a good life? Yes, I hope we all do, right? And so today, I'm going to take us through three things that we see from Proverbs 16 that shows us God's wise care that can help us navigate our lives in a way that will honor God and bring glory to Him. And so when we think about our lives and what we want to do with our life, a good place to start is with a plan. Who here has a plan for next year? Anyone thought about what they want to do? Oh, Steph. Yes, you know Steph. Oh, yes, we have a couple over there. Yes. Everyone else is like, not yet, Henry. I will put up the list. I hope so. Right? And so, here's the first thing I want us to consider. Okay? The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That's from verse 1 that Helen read today. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And so we're encouraged here to make plans, right? We're encouraged to make plans. The plans that we make are ours, right? But it's God who gives the answer. It's God who gives the answer. And I want us to think of it like this, that we as humans, we set things, we sort of plan things in our head, right? We have ideas. We want to do things, right? But it is God who sovereignly enables us to put our thoughts, our ideas into words, right? And this is the first thing that I want us to see, is that God's wise care extends to our words. Everyone say words. God cares about what we say. God cares about the words that we bring forth. When we think about the power that is in our words, we can create things or we can tear things down, right? In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle response turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Words can either diffuse or they can escalate a situation, right? So we should choose our words wisely. Sometimes we can think that what we have to say has to be said, right? We have to say it. And it may not be the right time. It may not be the right place. So we need wisdom. We need wisdom with our words that we want to speak. You know, I like what Levi said during the video, the prayer. We need more of the Holy Spirit, man, in our lives so that He can prompt us. Oh, do we really need to say that? How can we say this in a loving and caring way? Right? In the book of James, he encourages us. James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. When we listen and hear people with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that should cultivate wisdom in our words that we're about to speak, right? That should build up this sense of like, okay, think about how this is going to affect this person. How is it going to help them, right? Because sometimes we just want to just let it out. Just, right? Because that's what they need to hear. But the Holy Spirit is there to give us wisdom in that situation. Help us walk through that. You know, there have been times in my own life that I have spoken words that were not very wise, not at the right time, not at the right place, not said the right way. And I know that those words that I spoke, they did harm, they did damage in that person's life, in the people that I've spoken with. And it wasn't until everything had all settled down that then I started to evaluate myself and think, oh my gosh, I finally saw that, oh my gosh, I used wrong words. My wrong attitude, my wrong presentation, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What plans are you making? What plans are you making? Have you even made any plans for the next season, for the next year? Or are you just going with the flow? How are you wanting to live out your life purposefully? Right? I like what Benjamin Franklin, he's an American president, he said this: if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Right? If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Now, when we think about the potter and the clay, the potter already has a plan of what he is going to form and build. Even before he gets the clay out, he's already got this picture in his head. He's already thought out what he's going to do, how it's going to look. Remember that process that I mentioned earlier about preparing the clay? Right? The potter takes this piece of clay and he begins to form and shape it. He begins to knead it, right? And I said that the kneading that he's doing is to get out the air from that bit of clay. It's to make it a consistent, moldable piece of clay. You know, our hearts can have pockets of air in them. Think of it like this. Those pockets of air can be resentment. Those pockets of air can be unforgiveness. Those pockets of air can be bitterness, hurt, judgments, pains that we have experienced in our life. And so when we bring our hearts before God, it's like God begins to massage our heart. He's beginning to knead out those hurts in our heart. He wants to deal with that. He wants to heal us in those areas. He begins to soften our heart. He's preparing our hearts to be consistent with his character, to be consistent with his nature. And, you know, sometimes it can be really uncomfortable to go through that kneading process, to get out those air pockets in us. But God is preparing us. He's preparing us for his plans. He's preparing us to do what he's called us to do. By surrendering our heart to him, we're placing our hearts on his operation wheel, so that he can begin to shape and form our heart around and towards his plans. Has your heart been placed on God's wheel of healing? Right? Are there still areas in your own life that you may be struggling with? Maybe it's fear, maybe it's anger, maybe it's doubt. But this process reminds us that God wants to do this work in our heart. He's the potter. He is the potter. And he's inviting us to bring our hearts to him, so that he can begin this process. Number two, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. This is from verse 3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The second thing is that God's wise care extends to our works. God's wise care extends to our works, the things that we do. When we're committing our work to the Lord, it means that we're entrusting, we're dedicating, we're submitting our efforts and our actions to God. But this is also about acknowledging God's sovereignty, God's authority, God's power over our lives, in our lives. Before this work begins, we're asking God, God, lead us. God, guide me. Guide me in this situation. I've got this big decision I need to make, God. I don't know what to do, but help me, God. Speak to me. How do I navigate through this, God? And so this can look like prayerful planning. Prayerful planning. Before making decisions or taking on actions, seek God's guidance through prayer. All the things that Steph spoke about last week. Prayer. Before going into it, before jumping into it and getting ahead of ourselves, let's invite God to be part of this. Let's invite God. Let's acknowledge God. God, you hold my life in your hands. And so I want you to show me, to help me navigate through this. Asking God for direction in your studies. Asking God for direction in your sport. Asking God for direction in your workplace. Asking God for, you know, for those that are single in here. Asking God for, you know, your future husband or your future wife. You know, asking God. Nothing's too silly for God. If we come before God with this heart, this genuine heart, that God, I want to know your plan. I want to hear from you for my life. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God. There you go. Tell your requests to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Tell your requests to God. Talk to God about it. Bring those, whatever it is that we're going with or struggling with in our lives, bring it to God. Talk to Him. He wants to hear from you. He already knows what you're going to ask Him, but there is power in when we declare it with our words. There is this power when we're coming before God and we're just laying bare before Him and saying, God, I need help in this. It can also look like aligning with God's will. Aligning with God's will. You know, when I think about aligning with God's will, I see it like people coming into agreement with God. When I think about aligning with God's will, to me, it looks like people coming into agreement with God. From a biblical perspective, alignment can be understood as ensuring that our actions, our life, our purposes are all in alignment with God. Alignment with God's will and His principles. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this pattern, to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation of renewing our minds. And it's an ongoing transformation process. You know, what we did last year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years ago, it's not the same as what God is wanting to do today in you. What God is wanting to transform and change in you today is this constant renewing, refreshing, restoring that He wants to take each and every one of us through so that we become more and more like Christ. So we become more and more like His Son, Jesus. It can also look like trusting in God's guidance. Trusting in God's guidance. Trust that God will guide and direct your steps. Recognizing that despite our efforts, ultimate control lies with God. And we're relying on His wisdom and His provision. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Committing our work to the Lord can look like us engaging in prayerful planning, aligning with God's will, and trusting in God's guidance. When we can do these things in a healthy and regular way in our life, we're keeping our plans in check with God. We're keeping our plans on that table with God and saying, God, I don't want to jump ahead in this, God. This is you working through me. And so form and shape me in the way that you want me to be, God. Commit our works to the Lord and your plan, our plans will be established. Commit our works to the Lord. And number three, final thing. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. This is from verse 9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The third thing that God's wise care extends to is our wholeness of heart. Wholeness of heart. Our heart is who we really are. Our heart is, our hearts determine our actions, right? Out of our hearts, they determine our actions and our behaviors, right? In Luke 6:45, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you got in your heart is going to come out in the words that we speak. And so if we were just to take a moment just to stop and record what was coming out of our mouths, we could probably tell what's really in our hearts. So what's coming out of your mouth? Is it complaining? Is it negativity? Is it judgment? Is it gossip? Is it doubt? Is it fear? We will know what's really in our hearts when we listen to what's coming out of our mouths. Is our heart filled for, is it filled with a love for the people around us? Is our heart filled with a compassion to meet with and engage with the people around us? Is our heart filled with a desire to see people, our friends, our family, meet Jesus and be transformed by his loving grace and power? Is our heart filled with this deep sense of representing God in a way that is aligned with his word, in a way that aligns with his principles and his character and his nature, that honors and glorifies his name? And get me on this, it's not just about changing behavior. It's not just about changing what we do. It's more about the change in our heart first. Because we can get tired of doing the right things, right? We can get tired of just ticking the boxes, turning up to this because I have to, doing this because I'm told to. But if we're coming out of a place where we know who God is in our life, we know the change that he has brought into our heart, we know that he is molding and shaping us to be more and more like his son Jesus so that we can go out there and tell someone else about that, then what we do comes out of this place of, this is a joy to do. It's not a burden for me. This isn't a task that I'm doing. This is because I know what I'm called to do. I know why God has made me. And so it should flow out of that place. The moment we're feeling that this is out of a task, out of a place of I got to do this, then I think there's some stuff that's happened in our heart that we haven't dealt with. We need to come out of this place that I get to do this. Not I got to, but I get to do this. I get to love people this way. I get to walk alongside these beautiful people and learn about them and learn about God. I get to do this. But if our heart is like, oh, I got to go to life group. I got to go to church. Then maybe we need to check our hearts. Maybe we need to check what is really going on in our hearts. Is everyone all right? I hope I wasn't too real. I'm talking to myself as well. Yeah, seriously, as your pastor, I'm like, oh, church again, God. It can be hard work. But if we see it as just work of a task-oriented way, then that can be an issue. But if we see it as a work as in worshiping of God, then that's a different place that we're working from. That's out of a heart of loving God, no matter what we're doing. Whether we're with our families, taking care of our families, or whether we're in the corporate world, or whether we're in a classroom, it's out of this place that I'm serving God right here in this place. You know, when I first became a follower of Jesus, there was this real desire in me. I'm sure you would have noticed it. You know, the first time you gave your life to Jesus, it was like, for me, it was like, man, it was like winning a championship. It was like, oh my gosh, it's awesome. God is awesome. You know, there was this real excitement in me to learn about God, to be discipled, to fellowship, to be in community with the people around me. There was this real, you know, this fire in me to be around people, to do what God's called me to do. And when I look back on that, I was like, yeah, initially that was me. It was easy in the way that because I was riding this, you know, I think of it as like it was the emotional wave, right? The emotional wave of responding to Jesus, right? And I was riding that. But who knows that emotions can be here and then they can be down here. They can be up here and then the 5 minutes later, they're down here. That's the nature of our emotions. You know, so I noticed in myself as I've gotten older, yeah, I'm only like a little bit older than most of you guys, okay? Just you thinking, what an old guy, okay? But as I've gotten older, there have been stages where my desire to grow in God has really felt like standard still, like I'm not growing. Even sometimes I felt like, man, I'm going backwards, God. It feels like I'm going backwards. And there would be times that I would be struggling with things in me, things in my mind, things in my emotions. I'd be struggling with these things. I'd be struggling with people, I'd be struggling with relationships, struggling with different situations. And there will be times that I would feel like giving up. And something that I was reminded of just this week during our Be Still session was one of the ladies on the video said this: I have seen too much to give up. I have seen too much to give up. I've seen too much of God to just throw in the towel now. What reminds you to keep going, to keep getting up, to keep coming before God? What is it that inspires you and brings you to that place before God? What is it for you? Having a plan is a good start, but having a heart that is wholly devoted to living out a life for the glory of God is an even better place to be at. Our heart. And God can and will empower us to live this wholly devoted life where we accept His words of care for us. We accept His words. His words that are plans for our life to give us a future and a hope. In the same way, God can and will empower us to live this wholly devoted life when we accept His wise care for our works, the things that we do. God wants to empower us in our works. Our hearts determine our living. Our hearts determine our words. Our hearts determine our works. Our hearts reflect who is the Lord of our life. And so who is the Lord of your life? Who is the Lord of your life? who is the Lord of your heart. Because the Lord of your heart will reveal who is the Lord of your plans. Who is the Lord of your heart? You see, for Solomon, he discovered that the importance of his plans was to have God as the Lord of his plans. You know, it's interesting, in this passage that Helen read, there are 9 verses, and the word Lord is used 8 times in just those 8, in those 9 verses. That word Lord that is used there is the name of God, God, Yahweh. So Solomon knew the importance of giving God, giving Yahweh control of his plans, giving Yahweh control of his life, surrendering his plans to God, surrendering his heart to God so that God would be glorified in his life. How is your heart? Have we placed our hearts wholly on God's will so that he can begin to shape and form our hearts? And I'll tell you now, if we made the decision to follow Christ 10, 15, last year, 20 years ago, it's a daily intentional decision that we have to make. Because what goes on up here and in here can really challenge us, can really shift us from away from God, you know, into our own things that we're wanting to do. And so being able to remind ourselves regularly, who am I living for? What is the state of my heart, God? Check my heart. That's a bold prayer to pray. Check my heart, God. If you really want God to do something, then pray that prayer. And if you obey everything that God begins to show you in terms of seeing the things that are really going on in your heart, man, there's going to be some stuff that will be shaken in your life. How is your heart? I have seen too much to give up now. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word today, Lord God. We ask, Father, that as you speak through us, as you've shown us things this morning, Lord God, in terms of planning and in terms of the words and works that you are wanting to do in and through us, Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your spirit that is speaking to us. And so this morning, Lord God, we want to lay our plans before you, Lord God. We're nearing the end of the year, Father, and some of us are thinking, where's this year gone to? What have I done this year, God? So maybe this is a time, Lord God, that you are wanting us to sit and begin to allow you to speak to us. Speak to us about plans. Speak to us about the things that you're wanting to do in and through us. Whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's in our classrooms, in our schools, wherever it is that you have placed us and positioned us, God, you are wanting to do something great in each and every one of us. And so this morning, Lord God, as we go into this activity, Lord God, of bringing our plans before you, of making some initial plans and bringing them before you, Lord God, may we hear your voice this morning. May we know your voice this morning as we prepare, as we plan for the next season, as we plan for next year. So we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing in and through us. Every son, every daughter in this house, Lord God, we honor you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.